Well, amen. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Way to go, Brother Feaser. I practiced with him before I touched your mantle a while ago. Only key I knew was C. I didn't even get it right. Well, I was eating lunch with Pastor today, and he said, "Hey, you want to preach tonight?" After I swallowed my food, I said, "Why, sure." And so I went to the archives, looked for sugar sticks, and the sugar ants had got in there and ate them all up. All two of them. So I wrote a new one, amen. So anyway, the Lord knows what He's doing. And I appreciate a church where Pastor trusts me to preach behind his pulpit, and the people allow me to preach, and I do appreciate it. And I know Pastor always says he appreciates the staff, but I appreciate our pastor. And I appreciate our church. And we got a great church. And I always say, if you don't think you got a good church, go visit another one. Then you'll come back and say, "Well, we really do got a good church." Amen. And Brother Harrison, you probably figured that out traveling around, and some of you other guys. And so we really are blessed here. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll look at the first seven verses. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." Verse 3 says, "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." And we understand this philosophy that Augustus Caesar, which is the grandnephew of Julius Caesar, sent out to tax the people. And the reason he wanted to do that, because he wanted to control the people. But we know that the reason that this happened was because Joseph had to go back to his hometown. Joseph had to go back to where his lineage was. Why? Because this was the plan of God. By the way, we can't give no credit to Caesar Augustus or any person. We give credit to God. God got Jesus where He should be in Bethlehem to be born on that very night. And there is no mistakes in the Bible. It was all God's plan. And by the way, God can use lost people to work out His plan. We see that even in the days of Babylon, in those days that God used lost people. But going down, read verse 4, it says, "And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." We know this story. I don't want to preach that. Verse 5 says, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son." I'm glad it was her firstborn, amen? Because it reaffirms that she was a virgin. And that had to be also, in order for Christ to be who He was, she had to be a virgin. And by the way, God worked that out, amen? And we thank God for Mary, but Mary was not supernatural. What was in her was supernatural. And some people miss that, if you know what I'm saying. Verse 7. "And she went forth, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, I'll preach on this subject, and you'll have to hear it out. No room in the end. E-N-D. No room in the end. By the way, we're living in the end times. And by the way, our world has pushed Christ away. And we'll see that through the Scripture here in just a moment. But after we pray, we'll preach on no room in the end. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your blessings. And Father, tonight I cannot do this without You. Lord, I would not even try unless Your presence and power is here. And Lord, we ask tonight You'd use these lips, God, just one more time. Lord, that You speak through me. And Lord, as You've already spoken to me, Lord, I ask that You speak to Your folks tonight. God, You know their hearts, their mind, where they're at spiritually. Lord, You know their physical condition tonight. And so, Lord, I ask that You would speak to them through Your Word. And Father, I ask that You would empower me through the Holy Spirit, Lord, to preach Your Word tonight. And Lord, may it go forth and go into hearts that are ready to be to receive Your Word. Now, Father, we thank You so much for all that You've done already this day. The messages we've heard, the lessons we've heard. But Lord, would You just one more time tonight meet with us and be evident among us. And Lord, in walking and working in hearts. Lord, we ask that You help us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as you see, as they come into the city, is that they come to the inn. And I was reading this not long ago. There's two main thoughts about why they were not allowed into this inn. One thought of reasoning is, it's because Mary and Joseph were not married. They were, that this baby was an illegitimate baby. Now, I don't personally think that's necessarily the case. And then the second reasoning is because there was no room, because people were coming there to be taxed and there was just no room. That one makes pretty good sense, I think. But also, I believe this. I believe that it was God's plan for them not to be in this, in the inn. I don't believe that was God's plan. I believe it's God's plan for them, for Jesus, which is a picture, it's a great picture, by the way. He's in a stable. Why? Because He is the Lamb of God. Amen. By the way, if He came as a lion, they couldn't contain Him in that barn. Amen. But because He was a lamb, which came before shears, and you think about all these things that was happening at this time to come to this inn, and there was no room for Him. But can I say is that I believe it's a great picture of our world today. And even in the time when Jesus was here, the world rejected Him. He said, I came to my own, and my own received me not. And that's where we're at today, my friends. Jesus comes into the town of Bethlehem in the womb of His mother. And guess what? Even before the time He gave birth, the world started rejecting Him long before then. Matter of fact, if you go back 750 years when Micah prophesied that He would be born in Bethlehem, then you go back and you read how Isaiah said that there was no comeliness or form about Him, that what? The world would reject Him. And by the way, it's no surprise to God that the world has rejected Jesus Christ. God's not going, oh, what I do now? There's no surprise in God, amen? And so as we see, we're living in the end times. Turn to 2 Timothy, if you will. You know these verses well, but I want us to look at them tonight. In 2 Timothy, I want you to look at these verses, chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. If I beat you, I'll read, because most of you could quote these. It says this, know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves. Boy, are we ever there. There's a mirror everywhere, amen? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Amen, parents. Unthankful, we're there. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, inconfiders, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than what? Lovers of God. This is the world we live in. There, in verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That is the world we live in. Go over to chapter 4. Look again at verse 1 through 5 there. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and at His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3 says this, for the time will come, listen, the time will come, and by the way, the time has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That's the world we live in, amen? And the day that Mary and Joseph walked into the town of Bethlehem, and in that day when we see that they came to this inn, and the inn had a no vacancy sign, amen? And Christ was taken to a stable. He was taken to an outback place. And there was no room in this home or in this inn that it would be called in the Bible. Why? Because the world, it was a good picture of how the world was already, even before Jesus was born, was starting to reject Him. You know what's happening in our world today? Is that we see it more than ever that Jesus is being rejected. I was reading this in Matthew 21:42. It says, the stone which the builders what? Rejected. Folks, we live in a world of Christ rejectors. We see that in Isaiah 53:3 says, He is despised and rejected of who? Of men. And we see it more and more as we see the day approaching. We're going to see Christ being rejected. And I'll give you four groups of people that have rejected or have no room for Christ. Number one, we see rulers. We see in the day that Christ was born, the 2 years time period around that Herod made a decree that all children under the age of 2 and under should be what? Taken away, to be killed. Why? Why is that? Because Herod feared his power. By the way, I believe the rulers of our world are saying there's no room for Jesus because they're afraid they're going to lose their power. And by the way, we'll get into everybody here in a little bit, but we see, I'm not just talking about our president and our all these people. I'm saying our congressmen, I'm saying some mayors in town, we're seeing them reject Christ like never before. Makes me sick. The town I grew up in just last year rejected the little manger that had been in the city hall for 70-something years. Finally got kicked out. Our church bought it. Our home church bought the manger for $1 and put it in on a private land across the street from the city hall. Amen? Two-way skin a cat. But why is that? Because it's offensive. There's no room for him. And our rulers have rejected him, such as Herod had rejected him. You see that in Matthew chapter 2. How there's no room for him. We see number two, not only have rulers rejected him and have no room for him, but number two, we see the rebels. Folks, can I tell you that there's been rebels all throughout the Bible? I was studying about a month ago on the children of Israel, and I began to see something that was very prominent in the Scripture when you're dealing with the children of Israel. Over 20 times, the word rebel or rebellion or rebelled comes up when Jesus is speaking about the children of Israel. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against God. Can I say I'm glad God didn't rebel against them? He was faithful to them. He showed them grace and mercy in this time. Even when the children of Israel crossed, and I was sharing this in my class this morning, the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea, and they didn't go up to Moses and say, Moses, thank you for getting us out of there. We sure are appreciative of this. We sure are glad that Jesus has got us across this Red Sea, and we saw a great miracle. No, they did what any good Baptist would do. They put their hands across like this and said, well, we wish we would have died in Egypt. Why? Because we're two things. We're hungry and we're thirsty. Let's have fellowship. Amen? You know what happened is that they began to push the Lord away. We see at the end of the 40 years, God took care of those who didn't believe, who didn't have faith during that time, those that didn't have room for Christ. Christ ended up taking them out before they could cross into the promised land. And there, in our life today, there's people who are considering themselves rebels. They're leading a cause. But it is not the cause of Christ. They have rejected and have no room for the Lord. By the way, we read it earlier that in the end times, men are going to change. Mankind will change. How will they change? They will change from knowing God and knowing about God to not having the knowledge of Him to a world that is declining. We're not evolving. We're declining each day. When you can walk up to a child on the street today and say, hey, can you tell me the story of Jesus or tell me the story of Noah, tell me the story of Zacchaeus, and they look at you like, who? We live in a world that has said no room for Christ. We have rebelled against Him. Then we see the third crowd, even in the Bible, we see the religious crowd. They have no room for Christ. We see that in Mark chapter 8, and I'll read this one to you, Mark chapter 8, verse 35. I'll read it real quick if I can find it. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Sorry, it says, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes. The religious leaders during the time of Jesus Christ said, we have no room for Him. If you go to the time when Jesus is brought before the court, brought before the Bema seat, and as the crowd says, what? Crucify Him. Who was that crying? Crucify Him. That was the religious crowd. Why? Because Jesus messed up their tradition. Amen. The religious crowd today says there's no room for Christ. We want to hold on to our tradition. The Catholic Church is not about Jesus Christ, my friends. The Catholic Church is all about tradition. This is what we do. This is who we are. There's got to come a day, too, whenever the Pope says, look, we're not against abortion. And we're not against homosexuality. It's coming. You wait. There's a rebel in charge of the Catholic Church nowadays. He's already revealed his past. And I think by revealing his past, he's revealed his future. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But listen to me, is that these religious leaders, these religious people of the world today, do not want Christ as their Savior. Why? Because that'll mess up their tradition. And in the times of Jesus Christ, remember the first time we see Jesus at the age of 12 from His birth to age 12, we really don't know what's going on, but we see Him go in and guess what He does? He meets with the religious leaders. Brother Clark, you know as well as I do, they didn't go, well, tell us more. we're glad to have you. They run him out. Why? Because he knew more than they did. He was trying to do away with their tradition. By the way, there's a lot of people in the world today that want to hold to their tradition and not to Jesus Christ. And by the way, just let me say this. Some Baptists fall into that category too. Some Church of Christ, some Methodists, some Assembly of God. They want to hold on. This is our tradition. But can I say that a tradition never should trump over doctrine and the Bible. And we should never allow it to come between us and Jesus Christ. And whenever we come to a point and we say, well, this is what we've always done, and it doesn't line up with the Bible, my friends, guess what you're saying to Christ? No room for you. Be careful. Be careful. Well, why do y'all do that? You know, I've been asked that before. And Brother Wiggins, tell me through the Scripture why you do that. And I'm like, Pastor, could you come meet with us real quick? That was just something we've done forever in our little home church. I don't know why we did it. Amen. Be careful. We point the finger sometimes, but sometimes we should be pointing at us and making sure that we want to hold to the truth. Now, I'm all for tradition if it lines up with the Bible. Amen. If it lines up with the Scripture, I'm going to keep doing it. It's going to be a tradition. Amen. I love reading the Christmas story on Christmas. Hallelujah. That's good. But listen, if it's against the Word of God or if it's not in the Word of God, we are saying no to Christ. There's no room. Amen. By the way, if you think back in the times of Christ, whenever he was, Joseph and Mary was there, and they're like, Joseph, you need to leave this woman. Because tradition says if you stay with her, we're going to stone you. Aren't you glad Joseph didn't go with tradition? That he went with God? By the way, sometimes going with God and not with tradition will get you in trouble. Amen. But God will take care of you. God has promised if you go by His Word, if you go by His book, He'll take care of you. Tradition sometimes will lead you down the path of mediocrity. Whatever Brother Clark, Miss Charlene just said, it puts you down a road in country terms with ruts. Hallelujah. Amen. There's more than one way to skin a cat. See? You know, I don't know about you, but I expect the rulers. I really just kind of expect the religious crowd. You look back and you say, well, I really expect the rebels to say there's no room for Christ. But there's a fourth group of people that I want to talk about tonight, and that's the redeemed. Because I think we live in a day and time, and I'll prove it to you here in just a moment, that the redeemed have said no room for it. You said that would never happen. My friends, can you remember back when Jesus is fixing to leave? He said, I go away, and they're like, oh, don't go away. We don't understand what's going on. And then Jesus says, all right, I'm going away. Peter said, well, I'm going away too. I'm going to deny you here at the last days of your life. You know what Peter said? I don't want no room. There's no room for Jesus in my life anymore. I'm going to talk like the world. I'm going to sit with the world. I'm going to be like the world. And then we see that, thank God, Peter repented. Amen. Peter got back right with the Lord. And then again, we see Peter and all the disciples going back fishing. Amen. Say, well, we don't know what's going on. We're just going to shut him off and go back to doing what we know to do. I've done that before. Lord, I don't know your direction, so I'm just going to go back and do what I used to do. Sometimes that ain't right. But listen to me tonight, is that we see that in the Scripture, and I'm getting to this, is that in the Scripture it's very defined that in the world we live in today is that there are people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who are saying to Jesus, there's no room for you here. You know what's sad? There are churches in America today that have said, Lord, we don't have no room for you in this church. We've got our program. Amen? We got her planned out for the next year. Amen. I'm all for that. I like having a calendar. But listen, what good is a calendar if the Lord's sitting outside the door? If Jesus walked in most churches and said, hey, I'm Jesus Christ, we'd be like the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. Who is that? Supposing it was a spirit. Here are the disciples that walked and talked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and Jesus comes walking on the sea, and they're like, who is that? Jesus says, it's me, be not afraid, for it is I. Oh, yeah. I guarantee you that's what would happen in a lot of churches today because, hey, listen, just because it says church, fellowship, temple, tabernacle, or anything, it doesn't mean that Christ is present. We live in a day where the redeemed have said, no room. No room. No room for the Lord. Let me take you to a scripture that I know you're very familiar with in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I love the book of Revelation. Love teaching on it. Revelation chapter 3, a very familiar portion of scripture that you know as well as I do. But I believe this is the world we live in, my friends. We live in this time. Do you believe you're living in the end times? By the way, if Paul thought he was living in the end times, and my soul, we must be living in the end times. Amen. We must be, I'm the next sound we hear is going to be, it's coming, my friends. I'm telling you, the trumpet sound is so near. We can hear the rumbling of the footsteps of God. Amen. He's coming. And the more I teach, the more I study on the book of Revelation, the more I tell my classes, and they know this, He's coming quick. Oh, He's on His way. Amen. I remember whenever I was in band, I know some of y'all don't believe that, but I spent 3 years of my life in purgatory. And I played the trumpet because it was the most annoying thing. They wouldn't let me play the drums because they had all the other guys playing those. They had those carried. I said, what's the next annoying thing? And so I played the trumpet. And so I said, well, my parents will love me for that. And, you know, it was amazing. I just thought about this. As soon as I started playing the trumpet, my parents got a divorce. So I don't know how that worked. Drove one of them crazy. But I remember our band instructor at that time was a young man, very, very knowledgeable of music and knowledgeable of instruments. And he always used to get on to us. We'd come in the band, if we hadn't warmed that trumpet up, if we hadn't oiled it up and had cleaned it out and had that mouthpiece ready to go, oh, he'd climb you. You had to be ready. By the way, I believe Jesus is getting that trumpet polished up. I believe He's getting it oiled up right now. Amen. I believe we can just almost hear it. Hey, listen, why? Because we live in the time where there's no room for Jesus in the end time. We're saying, no manger here. Yeah. Amen. No, don't mention Jesus here. Somebody was telling me this morning that this young lady, or somebody said, Merry Christmas, and the manager came and got on to him. God help us. Yeah. Our country was founded on Christmas. Christ must. We want to put an X where Christ is. I think it should be Christ X. Amen. Christ and nothing else is all I need. It's amazing when you see a crossing sign, they always X out the cross too. Amen. You ever thought about that? Some of y'all just thought of that, didn't you? I see your eyes. Revelation chapter 3, let us if you will. I want you to notice, if we're living in the time of the Laodicean age, which I believe we are, and Brother Stewart says we are, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Verse 20, chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, who is Jesus talking to in Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2 and chapter 3? He's talking to the churches of Asia Minor, seven churches of Asia Minor. He is addressing them specifically, each one specifically. He gives them the good, He gives them the bad. He gives them the cure. He says, any man hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That is the cure for the church. But listen to me, how can we hear from the Spirit of God if Jesus Christ is outside the church? Where is Jesus in the end times? If we're living in the land of CNH, He's outside going, hello? I paid for that church. I died for that church. And yet they don't want me in there. But can I say that it starts on an individual basis? It's that each one of us making sure we don't shut Christ out of our life. You know what I thought about the other night? Me and my wife was going through and shopping. And I'm pretty sure I don't shop on Black Friday. I would rather pay full retail price. Because I'm pretty sure that nobody has the Christmas spirit on Black Friday. If they got to call the cops in and spray them with pepper spray, I'm pretty sure people aren't there going, "This is all for Jesus. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah," whatever you want to say. Amen. I don't believe that. And I began to watch as people were in the store. This was just this Friday. People were going crazy, trying to grab stuff, throw it in the buggy. Come on, go, go, go. I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure this is not what Christmas is meant to be. Then you look at your wallet and you go, "Oh my soul, where did it go? Christmas bonus is gone. Plus I had to sell something." Amen. My wife had to sell her stockpile just to pay for Christmas. And she didn't even buy me anything. Boy, I begin to think about how we get in such a hustle and bustle. Don't forget that it's Christmas. It's not giftmas. It's not eatmas. It's Christmas. And Christ is a must. God help us if we get to this time of the year and we say, "Got no room for you." God help us. God help us that we get so commercialized. You know, the retail stores, they live for Christmas. Why? Because they know there's goober heads out there with credit cards. Burning the trail. I looked at my debit card not too long ago and I realized that thing was wore out. I got on this savings account that I get a dollar for every time I swipe my card. I'm a millionaire. I got more in savings than I ever have just because I get a dollar every time. I told my wife one day, I was like, "Do I really swipe my card that much?" Now, I don't have a checkbook, don't use cash, so everything I get, $2, it don't matter, swipe that thing. Amen? And you know what? I forget to look at that debit card and say, "Lord, all that money that's on that thing is because of You. You gave me a place that I can come and work." You know what? I do miss the days of cash. Boy, you remember when you broke a 20, you start crying? You hated it, didn't you? You were a little more thankful. Nowadays, we just go, 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 go. Don't miss Christ. And don't, your life, you may not just physically say, "No, Lord, I don't have no room for You." But our actions speak louder than our words, right? And whenever we get into this thing of trying to make sure our kids have the latest and greatest and more than our neighbors and more than our brothers and sisters, God help us. I'm not against gifts. I'm not against them because I like them. But I am against it if it comes between me and my Lord. I'm people always say, "Are you against?" I'm against a Christmas tree if it comes between me and my Lord. I'm against a car if it comes between me and my Lord. Or I can use those things to glorify the Lord. Such as Brother Minnick used the Christmas tree this morning to bring honor to our Savior. Well, that was good. I was thinking, hey, amen. Let's don't miss Christ. Let's don't shut Him out of our lives. Remember, you're redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you, but before He had to die for you, He had to be born of a virgin. He had to be born in the right place at the right time. I mean, there was a split second when Christ had to come. In the right place, He had to come. And He did that all. Why? Not so we can have a commercial Christmas. Not so we can have all the presents. He came so we can have life. And it's our reasonable duty to say, "Lord, I'm Yours. And Lord, my life is You." I read this morning to our class. We're bought with a price. We are not our own. Take and say, "Lord, here's my life." In the end time, we see that there's not going to be any room for Christ. In the Laodicean age, Christ is outside the church asking to come in. You know what? I don't want that to be said about Heritage Baptist Church. I don't want that to be said about my life, nor your life. Let Him in. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Father, we thank You. We love You. Father, we just ask, Lord, tonight that we'd make room for Christ in our life. Lord, I know that He desires to take control of us and to use us. And Lord, find a place that He can, Lord, take resident in. And Lord, just lead and guide us. Lord, help us tonight as we have this time of invitation. Lord, everyone here would examine their life, Lord, not miss the true meaning of this time. Lord, help us to really evaluate and examine ourselves. And Lord, may we see, God, that we have given it all up to you. And Lord, we've allowed you to come in and take up residence and take control of our lives. We thank you and love you in everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Him.